Psalm 119 in verse 105, I'd like to go. This is the sort of like my church's theme scripture. What I want to share with you today is don't get distracted. And if you noticed in the manifestation, the prophecy that was done, God said that. Don't be distracted by the evils that are in this world. And that is probably one of the things that's happening to people more often than anything else lately. Seems like everything is coming every place you look. It's like disturbing. And in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God itself is that which guides you, shows you what's going on in front of you. It's your guide in this life. The more you know of it, the more you do it, the more peace you have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just a couple of verses just to set. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God are in him, yea." They're affirmative. Every promise of God is absolutely affirmative. And in him, amen. Every single one of his promises is coming to pass. You know what amen means? So be it. So shall it be. It's not just a fancy way to end the prayer. I didn't know that for years. They say amen. Like, okay, that's the punctuation mark at the end of a prayer. So shall it be. When you pray, is that your attitude at the end of your prayer? If you've asked for the things that God has promised, I'm not talking about the things you want. If you're coming to him and you're asking your Father for the things that he has promised, the things that he says that he will do, and you say amen at the end of that prayer, so shall it be. That's got to be your attitude of faith. It's got to be. You got to keep it that way in your head. We come before boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need, right? You've never gotten thrown out of God's throne room. You will never be dismissed. You will never be belittled. Every promise of his is amen. Go back to Psalm 138. Just another one before I get to the place I want to go. In Psalm 138, thank you all for being here. In verse 1, it says, "I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods." I love that. The little g gods. There's a lot of little g gods out there. The one that most people worship is the god of self. They want to be God. You know? But there's a lot of other little g gods out there. David said, "I will praise thee before all these other gods." Power, self, anything that thinks it can raise its head against the Almighty. And that might not be a real popular thing in whatever position you're in life, but that's what we should do. Praise him before all those who would raise their head to be little gods. I will worship towards thy holy temple. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has magnified his word, not just set it above, magnified it by a multiple above the name Yahweh, Elohim, the Almighty God, the Holy of Holies. He has magnified this word that he has given us above all of what he is. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Again, Lord said in the manifestations that we heard, you pray to me, I will give you what you need. You will have it when you need it. It will be yours. You know? See, believers believe. That's profound, isn't it? But think about it. This is not intellectual. This is not an intellectual thing. You take these words, you find them, you sink them into your soul, your heart. You claim them as yours. They're true. Just like you know your own name, right? Nobody can talk you out of that. Well, nobody should be able to talk you out of what God has promised. Same way. You claim them for what they are yours, they're true, and you will be strengthened. You come before your Father in anything, you will be strengthened. Go to Joshua, just to remind you of a couple of places. Again, this teaching is going to be about don't be distracted. Well, the only way you're not going to be distracted is if you got that kind of foundation for truth in your heart and life. You know, what is it? I was driving here this morning, got up at 5:30. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night for what? I don't usually go to bed early, so getting up at 5:30 was a little bit of a strain. I got up and I was really looking forward to it. And I'm coming here and I'm driving here and there's not a lot of people on the road and it's just boring. I'd much rather have something to keep my attention. But anyhow, if you get distracted, disaster happens when you're driving. How about any of you a brain surgeon? You know, if you're a brain surgeon and you've been working on your golf game all week and you haven't had time to look up the x-rays and all that other wonderful stuff that's supposed, and you cram it, you know, just before the surgery, a couple hours before, what do you think's going to go? How do you think that's going to go? Not well. Or, you know, you got an itch, you know, while he was messing around in there. You got to pray for these doctors. They're as human as you and I, right? They're as human as you and I. Everyone who is doing any tasks, you know, like taking a skill saw. Let's just take a skill saw, not pay attention to what we're doing with it. Just take a few fingers off. I had a fellow I was working with. We were working in Indiana. Lucius was his name. Lucius Polk. Yeah, God bless him. So Lucius and I are working. So Lucius pins back his skill saw. He pins back the guard, right? Because it's always in the way. A lot of trouble, that guard. You know, that's what it's there for, right? So Lucius and I are working. We're knocking off some wood, doing some nice work. And all of a sudden, Lucius just like, you know, he got distracted. And he put the saw down. He comes right across his leg. Nice and deep. He got distracted. Everything, you know, it's just important not to get distracted. Right? I mean, we could think up a whole lot more examples. I remember just sticking my, when I was a kid, closing the door of the car and leaving my other thumb in the door, not, you know, door jam. You ever do one of those? It's your thumb. Didn't you know where that thumb was? Got to pay attention. Got to focus in. We have to live our lives this way. It's a lot of work. It's work. It's choice. It's discipline. But there's a much better outcome if you do it that way. Right? It's the same thing with the things of God. The adversary would love to have you distracted about everything and anything. I have one moment right now, this moment. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't be distracted about the future. Certainly don't worry about the past. I got this moment to praise God. I have this moment to think about what he wants me to. That's why you're here, right? To think about this. Now, those of you who've been thinking about something else, I do it. I sit in somebody's teaching and I think about something else. Don't tell me I'm that good. You're being distracted. You follow me? That would be being distracted. You have this moment right now, this second, the other one's gone, and you're either focused and going to be blessed, receive something, or you're not. It's all up to us, right? And you just got to keep it. That's the mechanics of this. That's the mechanics of this. You know, your Father will give you everything you need as you ask. But some of us get so distracted, we don't even ask. We just complain. Some of us get so riled up about stuff, we forget altogether about God in a given moment. I mean, am I the only one guilty here? You know, being a Baptist church, get a testify. I don't do any of that, but I don't want to mock it, but it does seem appropriate. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Here these guys are. They've just spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now, I have August 40 years ago. In August, I think it was August 5th, I was ordained a minister. 40 years. I'm getting just way too old. That is a long time ago. Imagine spending your whole life. Some of you aren't 40 yet. Some of you are. Imagine spending the whole greater part of your life sitting around in a desert, waiting for these old guys to drop dead so you can go into the promised land. That's what God said. You ain't going until everybody who's above 20 years old is dead. So now they're 60, and you wait. When's Joey over there going to drop dead? But God says Moses dies. Tragedy, right? Takes them all. Their hearts rended. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise and go unto the land that I have promised thee. And he says here to Joshua, God says in verse 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, all the word, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it, from the left hand or to the right, from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goes. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You could take and read and think about and meditate upon these verses in a number of different ways, but don't turn from the left or to the right. How many times have you heard that in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? It's almost like, why do people say that so much? Because if you take and you get distracted, God's given us a word. He has given us a job. He's put something in your soul. And if you get, look at that, to the right, look at that, to the left, it just takes you off of the mark. Don't turn from what he has given us. You have this word. Most of you have learned this thing over many years. Some of you may be just starting out. You have it. You hold it. You stay steadfast to it. Follow its direction. It's a light unto your feet. Just don't allow yourself to get distracted. You know, the other wonderful man besides Joshua in that record of those 40 years was Caleb. I taught about Caleb a while back. You can look it up on the website if you want. The thing was so impressive about Caleb is when Moses sent out the spies to search out the land, Moses sent Caleb to this particular place. It was the place where the giants were. It was like the hardest place to take. In fact, when 40 years later, when Caleb is 80 years old, because he was 40 back when, and now he's 80, and he's 85, because they've been fighting the war to take the land for 5 years. He walks up to Joshua at the camp, and he says, hey, you know the promise that God made to you and me? Back when Moses told us, now give me the land. It was the last battle, the last place to take. And he said, I have never forgotten the promise. Through all of those years, the 40 years in the wilderness, he never forgot, this is the goal. This is where I'm going. This is what God has got me doing. He had his head and mind and heart on that objective. That was his promise. and they went in and got it. I don't think it was fair that the most faithful guy besides Joshua had to wait last. But life's never been fair. Ever. Read the book. You know, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. That ain't fair. But that's the way it is many times. But that's a sideline. Go to 2 Timothy. I've been working 2 Timothy. Hopefully most of you haven't listened to it. I just did 4 teachings in my fellowship on 2 Timothy. They're up on the website, so you can listen to it. Hopefully you didn't, so that this is a little bit, oh, this is nice. And 2 Timothy, now I want you to put yourself in this spot. Paul's in prison. He's in the maximum kind of security kind of prison. In a place where basically they dig a hole. This is where you eat. This is where you go to the bathroom. This is what you are. And they throw a grate over the top of the floor of the hole that they put you in. And then when they take you out, it's to go before the magistrate or the governor or whatever it is. Paul's in this kind of prison, and he knows that this is the end. He knows he's going to be executed. He has prayed, and God has delivered him from the mouths of the lions here in 2 Timothy. But other Christians are being put on a post throughout the city of Rome, and they're being lit on fire so that they can illuminate the streets at night. They're using them as a little wick. And this is the society that they live in. This is what their society looks like. I know people think that this society we live in is pretty evil, but we haven't used people to light the neighborhood lately. Or to feed the lions. But this is it. Christians are really prime targets to get rid of. And Paul is writing to Timothy, his own true child in the faith, this young man. And he knows this is the last thing that he's going to be able to say to Timothy. There's no more after this. He dies shortly after this book. So the things that he says to Timothy, he says to Timothy, everything that's in this book is just to one man. It's just to one believer, one faithful believer. And he gives it to him because the whole church is gone. All they in Asia Minor be turned away from me. His most faithful guys, including Titus, which is the next book over, is gone. He's quit. And he says these things to Timothy. And I just want to take the highlights. And I want you to think, if you were the only one left, if you were the Timothy of your time in this town, what are the instructions that God gives you in his word? What are the instructions that he would have you to follow to do the mission that God has given you to do? And it starts out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That is like so super. This is all about eternal life. I think it was Tammy that was praying, whatever happens, we got eternal life. That's the truth. You live another 20 years or you live another 2 minutes, you got eternal life. You win. 20 years, you win. 2 minutes, you win. You win. It's stay faithful. It's a no-lose proposition. Because I don't care how long, whether you're 25 years old or whether you're 69. Life's short. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you so much, Timothy. Now listen to me. Verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. God Almighty, can you imagine the society that Timothy is hanging around in now? Let's talk about everyday people. You are living in a society where Christians are openly hunted. It is really profitable to turn them in. And the torture that they put them through is extraordinary. Do you think you might be tempted to fear? I don't care who you are. Would this not be like the greatest distraction of all time? And just think about it in those terms. You are sent by God. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You've got God and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your mission is to make disciples. And yet you're being hunted for that very thing. What do you got to do in your own gut to squelch that fear? First of all, you got to know this is about the promise of life, eternal life, right? In Christ Jesus. You got to keep that first and foremost. Got to keep that first and foremost. That hope has got to be right there at the top of where you focus in life. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And the word fear there is the word cowardice, timidity. Yeah, we don't face those kinds of things today, but I bet you we get a little timid. You know, when it comes to speaking up, praising the Lord before all the little gods, people get timid, don't they? Don't allow it. Don't allow it. You know, think of these again. The point of my thing is the distractions that Timothy is going to face. Paul, think about him. This guy is ready to be a meal for the lions almost. You ever been to court? You ever been to prison? You ever been to any of these things? We're going to have a lawyer here soon. We're all going to need one. So better be good. All those things are very distracting. They're all very distracting. Getting pulled over by a cop is very distracting. You know, when I get pulled over for speeding or whatever, but you know, you get pulled over. All right, is he going to be in a good mood or a bad mood? What are you going to say now? You start going through it in your mind, right? So you do what you got to do. I'm always very respectful. I pray for these people every day. So I'm always very respectful, but Some days you get a nice guy, and other days you get a guy who just wants to give the ticket no matter what. That's just the way, you know, it's like your role. Snake eyes, it is. So you deal with it. It's distracting, though. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. So anytime that you are filled with fear, just ask yourself, anytime fear is ruling, and we've had plenty of opportunity for that over these last year or so, right? If fear is running you, this is not cool. Being smart is cool. Thinking through things is cool, all right? Doing positive actions to take care of business is cool, but it's all focused stuff. It is deliberately focusing, doing what you know is best to do, not acting or reacting out of fear. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. He's given you common sense. You can think a thing through. He's given you love. And he's given you power. You have God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you have to be afraid of? Jesus Christ said, don't be afraid of the people who can kill you. Be afraid of the one who can kill you and send you to hell. Talking about Almighty God. He's the one you should worry about. Everybody else, they don't have that kind of power. God has the power to bring you into the kingdom. God has the power to keep you out of it. And he's just God. He'll do it according to his will. If you remain faithful, the kingdom is yours to have. And if you don't, you sell him out. It's like Jesus said, you know, you deny me, I'll deny you. That's straight up. So be not therefore ashamed, verse 8. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. That was what was going on. They were ashamed of Paul, who likes to hang out with a con. You know, I mean, it used to be when I was a kid, the kids that got locked up, they were popular. Wow, man, you got locked up. That was great. Not so much in regular society. You know, if you go and spend time in prison, it's not exactly, you know, you don't want to be sharing that with everybody, especially a potential boss. But the believers had become ashamed. Look at what it says, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who had saved us and hath called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he hath given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is manifest by the appearance of our Lord and Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ has abolished death. When I fall asleep, it's a temporary state. You close your eyes, the twinkling of an eye, it says, the next thing you know is the Lord face to face. Right? Now, most people think they go to heaven right away. You go to sleep. You're in the grave until the resurrection, whenever that happens. At the time of the resurrection, there's no time. There's no sense of time for the Apostle Paul, who fell asleep 2,000 years ago. For him, he closed his eyes. And for him, within the twinkling of an eye, he will see the Lord face to face. It's according to Scripture. At the resurrection, we get raised. That, what are you going to be afraid of? So, as a man, I've had major responsibilities in my life, okay? Got married, major responsibilities, take care of my wife. Had children, major responsibility to take care of those kids. Job, major responsibility, take care of the job. All right? Accepted ordination, major responsibility to stay faithful, to do the things that God has asked me to do, called me to do. You keep adding stuff to your life as things go by. And, you know, when the kids move out, mine are gone. I'm losing my voice. It's not good. when you are relieved of a responsibility, the whole point of raising these kids was to grow them up to be men, to be a man and a woman who could go and take care of their own stuff. Now I can just love them. And if they ask for advice, I can give it to them. And if they don't, I don't. Wow. That's a whole lot easier than what it used to be. The wife, Mary's still the same. Married her 47 years ago. She's still got a list of things for me to do. And you don't get done with the honey-do list until honey's gone. And that's just the way it is. And the same thing with your commitment before God. Jesus is your Lord. He's my Lord. Everybody wants salvation. Not too many people want a Lord. We do what he says, whether I like it or not. But Paul is laying this stuff out here to Timothy. He's laying this, all of this to him. And none of this has got to do with 2 Timothy, not a blessed thing has got to do with how you take care of the people in the church. This is how you take care of you in the darkest times. This is how you need to prioritize yourself and don't be distracted. They're ashamed of the gospel that I've taught. They're ashamed of me because I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be strong in the grace, chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You choose to be strong. And what are you to be strong in? Your own macho self or your own beautiful self? No. The Lord's grace. The Lord's grace. You know, it's an amazing thing for a man who is the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, everybody in my church is gone. My whole life basically is a failure from a sense knowledge point of view. The whole thing is gone. And yet he's telling, just be strong in the Lord's grace. See, it's not my job to figure out how it comes out. It's my job just to be strong in that grace that's in Christ Jesus. And he says to him, this is your job. and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful men. I want you to find a faithful man. These are the people you pour your heart and mind and life into, Timothy. Don't waste your time. Find the faithful ones. You're going to have to find people who really got, I mean, in this environment, you know, being Christian, oh man, that sounds cool. What, are you kidding me? You want me to believe in your Jesus? They're going to light me up on the corner. You want to talk about a tough sell? Just find faithful men, and they're out there. They are out there. They are out there. And that's the job. And then he tells them, he tells them that there's four examples that I want to give you to do here. I want you to be like a soldier. I want you to be like a husbandman. I want you to be like an athlete. I want you to be like a workman. Each one of these, you can look at the examples, and then I want you to think about this. And if you have any questions, ask the Lord, and he'll show you what this is. So let's just think. The soldier, it says here, endure hardness, training as a good soldier, verse 3 of Jesus Christ. No man warreth and tangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for the mastery, so it's a one verse. You can't take your TV set with you to battle. You'll be a soldier and do training. You can't get involved in everything else in the affairs of the world. So it's a focus, isn't it? No distraction. You're on duty. You train. You perform. Sometimes it's boring. Most times being a soldier, thank God, is boring. Sometimes it's more exciting than you would ever want to be in your life. Then the masteries. It says, and if a man strive for the masteries, he's not crowned except he strives lawfully. Athletes don't get the medal if they don't do this by the rules. And the rules are in the scripture. You do this, you get rewarded at the end when you do it according to the word of God, according to the rules that are in it. Husbandmen, you get to eat first of the fruit. You got to do the work, though. It doesn't show up all the time at the beginning, right? You plow the thing, put the seed in. I'm not a, my daughter runs it. She's better at this than me. A lot better at it. I go to the grocery store, all right? She does all the work, all the preparation. She gets to eat at the end. And then the workmen of the word. Look at verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, Timothy. Charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. See, that's a distraction. Words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know what the context of this is? The resurrection is past already. You got people out there with a different doctrine. The resurrection's passed already. Don't even get into the conversation. Don't strive about words to no profit. Somebody says to me, that's nice what you got. That's nice. I got something else. See you later. Go to somebody else. It's okay. It's okay. You don't get into a whole arguments, and you certainly don't get into debates. And especially he's talking to him about the resurrection as the doctrine that was under attack. But you study. You study. The word study is the word to be diligent. Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God as a workman. A workman works. That needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God doesn't ask me to get it right. Thank God. I've changed what I believe a number of times through all these years. Because I've worked and I found that what I used to believe doesn't work. It's not what it said. You know, for the life of me, I don't know what, hopefully I'm not destroying anybody here. When I first started as a Christian, I thought I was going to heaven. Right? You find me a verse in the Bible that says that? Go ahead, try. It says, my rewards are in heaven, stored up for me. It says, my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God in the heavenlies. But it never says, you and me go there. It says, the Lord comes back in the clouds, raises us from the dead. And then the kingdom commences. Where do you think the kingdom is? It's on earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, if that's new information, I apologize. That was not the best way to present it. But I'm telling you, there are things in the Bible that are traditional that just aren't true. Okay? Just because people got traditions don't make it so. You know, is Jesus the only child of Mary? No. He had seven brothers and sisters. When the church I grew up in, he was the only one. He was an only child. It's because we didn't read the Bible. You study. You show yourself approved unto your Father in heaven, God. All right? You work. Some of us will do much greater things in our study than others, but everybody's to work. The subject here is specifically about the resurrection. Now, I think that an awful lot of people still need to study that subject. Right? Most of Christianity believes they're going to heaven right after death. What do you need a resurrection for? That's a question. Study. I'll take my word for it or anybody else's word for it. Study. Read. Look for yourself. God did not make this book and did not put this book together for intellectuals and theologians. He put this book together so that you and I could understand it. All it takes is a little non-distracted study. and never say that, oh, I can't get it. You got no idea who you're listening to. Everything you need, because here on he talks in chapter 2, he's talking about the resurrection is the major deal. Study. And then at the end of this, chapter 3, everything you need. Everything. Because chapter 3 talks about, oh, the last times, perilous things, all this evil stuff is going to happen. All of it's coming down. It looks, and everybody's, is this the last time? Yeah, this has been the last times ever since Pentecost. And it doesn't ever get really good. But what does he say at the end of this? He says very plainly, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you, Timothy, and each and every one of you here, the individual who's walking for God, can be, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The scripture, everything in the scripture, remember how we started this teaching? Everything in it makes the individual who believes it and walks for and with God fully equipped. Absolutely. This perfect, truly perfected is a ship going out to sea. It's got everything it needs for the journey. You got everything you need. You got power, love, sound mind. You've got the hope. You've got, just don't get distracted. Be like a soldier. Be like that workman. Be like the athlete. Do it according to God's word. Do it the way he says to do it. And you got everything you need. And then the last thing he says to him, I charge thee. Before God, look at this, 4:1. I'm charging you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Again, what is this about? Paul started this thing with, this is about the promise of life in Christ Jesus, and I'm charging you before the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall appear, right? At the time of the resurrection. He's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Do one thing. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Don't get distracted all the time. Preach the word all the time. You are always on duty. You're in the Lord's army. You're a soldier. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, not just always be nice. Now, it's also not being a real pain in the neck. Do like you do, like a parent. You reprove your children. Why? Hopefully to make them better. You rebuke. You yell at them. Get out of traffic. You don't want to become a speed bump. And you exhort. You can do it, kid. You can do it. Just like when Paul entered Thessalonica, it was like a father and a mother to them, right? This is the way in which we approach people. We reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We've gone on long enough. The people you'll come across, I can either talk to you straight and scripturally, and if you don't like it, there's a million other churches you can go to. If you go to a church, I don't care what church, you go to church because you like the way they talk to you, then that's what you got. If you go to a church because they sing nice, that's what you got. You get entertained. Just go to find out and then prove what the guy who's taught, like I did today, prove if those things be so. Prove to yourself as a workman. You take those things you hear and you work it out in your own head, your own heart. God has given you a brain, common sense. If he's got his preachers always saying, oh, it's okay, whatever you want to do, would you run your own family that way? Would you raise your children that way? Is this going to do a positive result? I know people who've done it. I know people who talk to their dogs like they're people. And they just are amazed that the dog doesn't get it. You know anybody like that, Heidi?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I got a friend. She talks to her dog. Oh, doggy, you know we've talked about this. This behavior is not acceptable. Now, this is an intelligent woman. She's a friend of mine. If you did that to your children, oh, excuse me, Michael, you can't hang out with these gangsters because they're going to rub off on you. So please don't do that. Please. That ain't going to work either. There's a better way to do it. You know, I raised the son. I raised the daughter. I was a little gangster. I know what being a gangster was about. I didn't send my children off knowing that nothing could bother them. I knew that they were in peril. They were in peril for the people that were around them every day, leading them down the wrong path, trying to get them into drugs, trying to get them into other things that they ain't supposed to get into. So it's, you get on guard as a parent, right? The people in the church, hey, you might not want to do that. That's wrong. That's not what the word says. And show them what it says. Not your opinion. Show them what the word says. You find yourself a church that does that and exhorts you because you are God's child. You can do anything that God says you can do in his word. You got Christ in you. You can do anything. That's the truth. As long as you do it God's way. You find a church that will teach the word and do it this way. And obviously, there's a lot more detail. Then that's a church to hang around and to serve in. But if you just want, you know, I get people come by all the time. Well, that was a very nice message, but you know, they do such a better, that I don't feel so responsible down the street. Well, don't be responsible. Just go down the street. See, we meet in small groups, right? Because I want to know who you are. I want to talk to you. That's uncomfortable for a lot of people. They want big places so that I can be anonymous. Don't be distracted. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the charge. We are not Jeremiah. We are not Isaiah. We are not some other ministry. We have been given, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the orders. Preach the word in every city, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, be a witness. The Lord gave us that. He said, make disciples. That's what we're to be doing. Faithful men, challenging people to learn God's word, to pick it up for themselves and to study it. I don't want to be dealing with a lot of spectators. I want players on the field. Christianity is not a spectator sport. So thanks for having me. Hopefully you'll take me back one day. But thanks for having me. And let me just close with the prayer. And whatever you guys want to do after that, it's up to you. So, Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Father, to do it. Help us, my God, for your with your loving kindness, your tender mercy. You've always, Father, guided us. You've always reproved us and brought us back to you. You've reminded us time and time again, Father, everything that we need to know. And you have put it in front of us so that we could hear it to begin with. Thank you for the truth of this word and for it to live in our hearts, and help us to cause it to live in someone else's, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.